Welcome to Pursuing True North. I'm Jenny Scioto. Today, Catherine King and I share with you an awesome woman's testimony. Lisa Lentz is with Preston Taylor Ministries. She is the Director of Connectedness. And join with us today as she shares her testimony, which brought her through before motherhood, motherhood, and all the way to Preston Taylor, and why she feels passionate about this ministry. Hope y'all enjoy.
Thank you so much for sitting down and giving us some time today to tell us all about you, Lisa, and your story. Sure. And about what you do, just in general, how you're walking out your life in light of what God's done for you and your story. So can you tell us a little bit about you and who you are and what, you know, where God came in?
Where God came in. I was raised Italian Catholic, so, you know, loved the ritual and traditions of the Catholic faith. But it really wasn't until my junior year in high school when I came to know Jesus. It was, in the 80s during, it was a Young Life experience. Went to, you know, a friend's house where this guy, Mike, was playing guitar, reading Bible verses, and bringing the gospel.
So can you tell me what Young Life is real quick?
So Young Life is an organization that it's evangelism to high school youth.
Oh, high schoolers
and,
in particular.
Yes, yes. And getting together in small groups, in friend group settings.
Okay.
So it's parachurch. And and so that was really my first exposure to the gospel and how I came to know Jesus, having Mike play guitar and read Bible stories to me.
So you had a conversion experience in someone's home.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
Sue Smythe in Westfield, New Jersey. And it was during my college years, I sort of walked away from the faith, searching and, you know, those confusing college years. And it wasn't really until I got married and we had three small children. And my husband and I were invited to a Valentine's dinner. And it was with an organization called CBMC, Connecting Businessmen to Christ.
Okay.
And it was evangelizing or ministering to the married couple through the husband. And
this was a business thing?
Yeah. I thought it was.
Yeah.
And
they're like, just kidding.
It kind of felt a little bit of like a bait and switch. Maybe they knew and I didn't, but we sat down and we heard a couple speak about the struggles in their marriage and how their conversion experience and bringing Jesus into their marriage. And it was just an irresistible call to me. I just really felt like that entire night was for me.
What spoke to you there?
You know, it was funny. The husband who was talking about his experience of being at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland, and playing rugby there. And the more he spoke, the more I realized I knew him. Because my father, I'm a twin, and I was born, my brother and I were born when my father was a junior in college at Johns Hopkins, and then grew up in Baltimore, and my dad played rugby. So I remember those days of being on that green army blanket and watching rugby players. And so I sat there listening to them, and he was talking about his rugby day. I just was like, oh my goodness, that's Whitey. I didn't know his name.
Yeah, but you knew his sports.
I knew his nickname.
You knew his rugby name.
And it really was all that came back to me of what that life was like. And he really showed me that his relationship with Jesus was a come as you are party. And I remember thinking, with all that I've done, with all that I've experienced, the mistakes that I've made, the ditches that I've fallen into, if God can forgive Whitey, yeah. then he can certainly, he's here for me. That's exactly what it felt like.
So God took something so personal that was very specific. Like,
yes,
you were placed there. You had an invitation that night.
For such a time
night,
as this.
And yes. it was, he very much was like, I'm talking to you.
Right. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, I just kept thinking, he's here. He's in this room. It was a very visceral experience for me. We were driving home that night in our van, going down this dark road away from the country club, and it was very quiet. And I said to my husband, "Hey, did you check the box?" Which was this way of saying that you accepted Jesus that night. And he went, "No, did you?" And I remember thinking, "How could you not have checked the box?" You know, like. He was in that room, like he was just, and then that's when I knew, oh, you wanted me. You came for me.
It was that personal experience. Yes. That it wasn't even really a checklist. It wasn't even really a no. thing that you did or had to no. do in order. It was God meeting you.
Yes.
In right that space, you had an experience right. with the living God
yep.
in that night.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
So then what did your husband say
so
after that?
He, you know, I said, yes, I did. And I think this is what our marriage is missing. And so he started to meet with a pastor, and we talked about the obstacles. He was raised in a Christian family, and his father was a pastor and left the family. And so when he was four, and so there were some issues
oh
there
my
that
gosh.
He had to overcome, right?
Definitely.
And yeah, a couple months later, told me he recommitted his life to Christ.
So were you all in church at this point, or did you start to come back? Or because I know you said you'd stepped
yeah,
away a little bit.
Yeah, so we were visiting a church, and it was in Northern Virginia, outside of D.C. We're in the D.C., Maryland area. And it just so happens, as God would have it, my husband is a southern boy and born and raised in Alabama. And there
mine
was,
too.
Really?
Yes.
And so he had put a young pastor about Charlton's age, maybe same age, they're still friends today, in a church. He was a Georgia boy. And they just started meeting for coffee and just having conversation, right? And that's how God wooed Charlton back to himself.
Through love from another mm-hmm. person, just showing up and being there
right.
for him.
Right, and just willing to talk about the next hard question, right?
Yes.
Yep, absolutely, God is.
So that's awesome. So then you guys came together.
Yep.
And you started kind of doing the
married life
married.
Thing.
Yes.
We did. And, you know, I talk about my conversion experience from that Valentine's Day. That was the night that I really made Jesus my Savior, right? But my old habits and my people pleasing and my mask wearing, they were still all there, and it wasn't serving me well, you know? And so it wasn't until when one of our children was in an accident and needed to be life flighted to Richmond, Virginia. We were living outside of D.C. and we were driving 75 miles for 3 weeks with two young children in tow, spending the nights in the pediatric
That's
ICU.
That's so stressful.
Oh, it was just, you know, it was interesting. Charlton had such a different experience than I did. I was petrified. That I realized that this is a God who could take my son if he wanted to. And that just petrified me. And Charlton was so at peace and just leaning hard on the Lord. And there were so many fears inside of me. I thought, I really need to get to know who this God is so I can trust him the way that I see, you know, my spiritual mentor, my husband, trusting him. And it was a battle. It wasn't easy, but I knew that through that experience, I wasn't making him Lord of my life. Okay. And he made himself known in so many miraculous ways during that time that he didn't have to. But there are so many ways in which he said, Lisa, I get it. I know what it's like to lose a son. I'm with you. I see you. I know you're known.
He was gentle with you.
He really was. He really was.
So even though you were coming from like a very anxious, more stressed out.
Angry. Yeah. Not even anxious. Yes. Okay. Angry.
He still took your emotions. I'm going to tell you how angry
I was. Yeah. And I don't talk about this often, but my mom came into town because we had three children and Eric was the middle child. And my mom came into town. So she would take care of the kids while somebody spent the night in the hospital. I would drive the 75 miles. Meet my husband, and then he would take the car and drive the 75 miles back, and then I would spend the night. We did this for 3.5 weeks, over 23 days, I think it was. And I came home on Christmas Eve. It was nighttime. I had the other two kids with me, and I came home, and my Christmas tree was up. My stockings were up, and I opened the refrigerator, and there was a ham. There was a green bean casserole with the onions on top. There was a sweet potato casserole with the marshmallows on top. My mom had put Christmas together for me.
Aww.
And I took that ham, and I took the two casseroles, and I dumped them over the deck and fed them to the dogs. And I threw those casserole dishes in the dishwasher, slammed it closed, unplugged the Christmas tree and went to bed, and I was screaming at the ceiling. I said, we're not having Christmas until Eric gets home. The next day, went to the hospital, and that's flu season.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, the board in the pediatric unit was full of names and just chatter everywhere. And I, 1,000 nurses and 1,000 kids, and when I walked in on Christmas morning, the board was completely clean except for my son's name. He was the only one. And there was one nurse sitting at the desk. Charlton and I had a little bit of time together, and he left, and I just went back to bed. I was just gonna sleep through Christmas. And I would say about an hour later, I heard this commotion outside the room, and I came out, and there was this family from our church, and I couldn't tell you who their names were at the time. Didn't even know. They had introduced themselves to me. And they said, my name is Susan. This is, this is really weird, but we were sitting at our Christmas table praying. And my daughter said, I just can't have Christmas dinner knowing that Eric's in the hospital. And so we just brought our dinner. And she was holding these two shopping bags. And the nurse stayed with my son, and we went into another hospital room. We lowered the bed, and she started to pull this tinfoil balls of tinfoil out of her bag. And she's like, I'm really, really embarrassed. I don't know what came over me, but as soon as Kaylee started saying that we couldn't have Christmas dinner without Eric, I just started ripping tinfoil and dumping these casseroles upside down. And I mean, literally, this woman served me these upside down casseroles. And I was like, I know why.
You know why they're upside down.
I know why they're upside down. I didn't have the guts to tell her that night. I told her years later. But that to me was just, I see you. I know what you're going through.
And he could handle your anger. Oh, he can,
yes,
handle our emotions. God can handle breaking down and coming to him. It's the coming to him part.
Right.
It's the being transparent, and it's the giving all of your stuff to God, no matter how ugly,
yes,
no matter how.
And in a lot of ways, I was thankful for my anger, because I could have numbed out. I could have been that person that said, I'm not allowed to get angry at God, right? But that anger allowed me to get to the meat of why he wasn't Lord of my life, what those obstacles were.
It allows you to
were.
Take care of what's underneath. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So you have
Eric's
this
fine.
Awesome.
He's doing great.
I was about to say, you have this awesome Christmas dinner. What happens with Eric?
He's doing great.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's thriving, and you know.
And that was it. And so that he's doing well, and mm-hmm. it turned your attention to, yes. Lord, you are actually Lord of my life.
I needed him on the throne. You know, I kick him off a lot. I'm get on and he gets, you know, I get off and I get on and I get off. I think we all do that. But that was really a moment for me to know, okay, yeah, it's one thing to have Jesus as your Savior. It's a completely different experience when he's Lord of your life. And how do you battle those obstacles? That's really what it's about. It's not about, some for me anyway, it wasn't about what do I put in front of him. It was why am I not willing to put these things in front of him? Why am I not willing to lay them at the altar? What are those obstacles that I have to work through?
Oh, and just the entire Christian life of identifying and forsaking, yes. those parts of you that you want control over, those parts of you that you aren't wanting to give. And right. I can't say never, but it's hard to imagine that anybody ever just gets it all handled in one given no. moment. But this is this journey that
right.
that we're on. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, what's going on with you? So now you've decided, okay, Lord, I understand what you want.
Yes.
From my attention and from my heart. So where do you go from here?
Yeah. So, you know, it was, I guess one of the big things for us was when Eric needed a lot of care, and there was a lot of question when I got the phone call that Eric was, had been in an accident. I was in Minnesota. I was working a full-time job, traveling. I had the whole Southeast, and so we really did reevaluate what we needed to do in our world. And he gave us these three amazing kids, and so I came home full time and started homeschooling my kids. I homeschooled for over 16 years. Oh, and wow. It's a calling. So two boys and a girl, and our last, Virginia, decided to homeschool all the way through high school. So we homeschooled her till she graduated from high school.
Okay.
And now they're all three out of college.
Oh, wow. 23,
24, 25-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's sort of how that was my ministry, if you will, of, you know, I was working in the D.C. Baltimore area, working with a lot of at-risk youth, a lot of at-risk populations.
So you're doing this at the same time as homeschooling?
No, when okay. I worked full-time. And so I really felt like this was the Lord telling me to pour that energy into my kids minister to their education and the ways in which God was growing them up. And so that's what I did. And
Can I pause you just for mm-hmm. a second? Because I feel like there may be a piece that's out there with mothers, especially when they're in a season of just focusing, and I say just loosely here, just focusing on their family and not being able to also have a career or do things. You know, they kind of feel like they lose a bit of who they are and their identity in there. And I've seen a lot that say, I just don't feel like I'm being useful and I'm, you know, doing more with my life. But can you speak to just that season?
I absolutely felt that way. You know, it's funny you say that, because my kids were young when Eric got had his accident. He was two or three, and so I had a five-year-old, and then Virginia was younger, and so I went from, you know, presentations and flying all, you know, doing up to cleaning, you know, to I remember we were trying to potty train boys, and I was cleaning urine off the walls, and I could quote my W-2 to the penny. And it took working with peeling that back and saying.
So what did he show you? Like, maybe he showed it to you after, or was it during, or at
I
some
mean,
point?
A lot of times he just showed me my sin, right? I mean, just... I mean, the fact that I could even remember that story, right? That I'm doing this, but I'm really worth this, right? And
he's refining you.
Yes. Yes. Right. Burning off the dross. And so it took about a year of really, really understanding what it is he gave me with those three children. And praise God, I had a wonderful covenant community around me of Titus babes that were walking alongside. And that was huge, right?
The mom support group.
Moms who are homeschooling, older women who wanted to do that work of helping me understand who God was, the Bible studies that we would go through, very basic Bible studies early on that we would go through, just teaching me how to make baklava at Christmas. You know, just those little ways in which they pour into you in their own giftedness.
Yeah.
And then God using me to do that in community with my homeschooling, right? And worked a lot with homeschool co-ops and support groups, and then ended up through my kids' middle school and high school years running a tutorial group here, because my daughter especially really wanted to be a part of the theater world. That was the ways in which she was expressing her artistic bent. Wanted a prom, wanted a yearbook, and so working with this homeschool group to provide her those things and work in community with other women to do those things together. And so that was a wonderful time, you know.
And so how did that whole experience, you've got the whole homeschool work, tons of work that you were doing with that. How does that bring you into kind of what you're doing now?
Yeah. So Virginia was graduating high school and going on to college. And I thought, okay, I want to work with kids. I want to be in this environment where I'm nurturing families and working with kids. I didn't want to be in a classroom situation. And so I started looking for, and I'd been in that world of working with kids who were under-resourced, and it went in my work life. And so started exploring organizations that worked with underprivileged, at-risk youth in after-school programs. And that's how I found Preston Taylor Ministries, where I am now.
Okay. And how long have you been here?
Let's see, this will be my seventh year at PTM. Yeah, I started, so that first year, I was still the coordinator of the homeschool co-op of the high school program. And so I would do that during the day, and then in the afternoons, I would run an after-school program here at Preston Taylor. And it was, you know, a small group of 20 kids. With volunteer support, and I think at the time Preston Taylor Ministries had four sites. We had four sites running at the time, and so I was one of those four sites, and I've been here ever since. Yeah, we are now at 10 sites.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And not just K-4, but K through really grade 13. We have a grade 13 program we call Thrive, which is following kids, mentoring kids through that first year of
out of
high school. Yeah. So we have K through fourth grade programs. We have fifth grade only program. We have middle school programs, high school programs. Yeah.
Just all kids.
Yeah. And 372-09, 372-08 zip codes.
Okay.
And so there's a statistic out there. 372-08 zip code, it has the highest incarceration rate in adults in the United States.
Oh, in the U.S.?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so we have a lot of kids that are raised in single-parent homes or understand you know, the transient lifestyle of family members in prison, and you know, under-resourced in lots of different ways. And so we concentrate our work here in the 37209, 37208 zip codes. 37209 has the highest, largest Section 8 population or low-income housing population in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. Although that's really changing. We're dealing with a lot of gentrification in this area, as you can imagine.
Oh, definitely. Both yeah. West and East Nashville. Right. Big time.
Right, right. But families don't always move out. They just move in together. Right? And okay. So there are these higher concentration of families that we're reaching. And so we own one building. It was donated to us. And by Hal Wilson. We call it the Wilson Center, a prominent businessman in Nashville that loved this neighborhood and wanted to love on the neighborhood and the families here. But every other site that we run for after school programming is a footprint in the neighborhood. It's existing space of other organizations that have planted themselves and are working in the communities, and we come alongside and partner with them to be the youth development arm of what they're doing. So it could be a family resource center like the Magruder Center or St. Luke's Community House.
And what's happening in these centers exactly?
So it is an after school program. So primarily we really are a bus ministry. We okay. own several buses, and if you're a CDL driver, we'll give you a job because we're always looking for bus drivers.
You need CDL drivers. I got it.
But we pick up at the schools.
Okay.
And then we bring them to the facility that they're nearest to. We have a site director. We do a nutrition and snack program. We hire certified teachers to do a reading intervention program. So all of our sites have certified teachers there that run reading programs.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yes.
Really,
it's
really good.
We have volunteers that are homework helpers. So we want to make sure that when a child gets back on the bus and we take them to their home, that they can enjoy that
their
time
evening.
the evening with their family, right?
Yes,
around
that's
a
so
meal.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then it also takes the stress off the parents, especially like you were saying, if there are some that are single parent homes and you know that they're working lots of jobs and
right.
the hours are different, and sometimes it's exhausting. I know even in dual parent households
right.
trying to, you know, juggle everybody's schedule and do homework
right.
and enjoy your evening.
Yes.
It can be really hard.
It is.
So I love that you guys are
yes.
giving that. You're not only ministering to that child, but you're ministering to that family.
That's the hope. Yep. That's
so
the hope.
Cool.
It's one of the reasons why we even over the last 2 years added sports ministry. So we're doing we're in the playoffs at flag football right now, and we're starting
it's
our
fun.
Basketball, yep, and soccer. But yeah, so we become that arm that registers them. We run the practices, we pick them up in a bus, take
it's
them to
so
the
neat.
games, you know. Parents can get on the bus and come to the games, and just getting kids to practice, that's just the stress of that when you're working
yeah.
till 8 o'clock at, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. It can be so hard. And so yeah, a big piece of our ministry is mentoring. That I would say that we are more that's one of the biggest arms in for our volunteers, is just that one-on-one experience where you can mentor a child in several different ways. We have a breakfast and Bible study program for our middle schoolers on Thursday mornings, where one adult is meeting with one child for the entire school year once a week, having breakfast together, doing fun games together, studying the Bible together. We have a lunch buddy program for our kindergartner through fourth graders, where a caring adult for 25 minutes will walk into an elementary school, sit in a cafeteria, and have lunch with their lunch buddy once a week. We have a dinner and Devo program on Monday nights, where a high schooler gets paired up with an adult mentor and talks about their day, talks about their week, what their struggles and stresses are, has a devotion time. My husband Charlton did that with his mentee for 4 years until he graduated.
Oh, so started, you can start ninth grade. And go all the way through.
Yep.
How nice.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, he had his mentees going into the military and is leaving in a couple of weeks. And so they were having dinner together the other night. And my husband, like, took a selfie of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, let me get a selfie. And his mentee pulled out his wallet and said, here, let me show you something. And pulled out a picture of him and Charlton, the first dinner and Devo that they had together, when it was like a Christmas event or a Thanksgiving event, something where there was some sort of background where they were taking pictures of their mentor mentees. And Charlton was like, you know, he's so quiet and it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, but it's those little drops, right? That consistent heartbeat of just checking
just showing
in,
up and loving
in,
somebody.
Showing up.
Just giving people your time.
Absolutely.
Is loving other people.
Yep.
I know people are like, oh, we're supposed to love others. Show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fellowship is meant to be inconvenient, right? And and it wasn't always easy, but it's scriptural and it's scientific. You know, there's studies out there now that talk about how there's one out there now called Hardwired to Connect. It's a study that shows that that it doesn't always have to be a parent. It can be a consistent, caring adult.
I think a lot of times having somebody else that's not your parents come in and take interest in you and pour into you. Not that they don't listen to their parents, but to have that interest from someone else.
Right. I mean,
obviously your parents love you, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, my kids have even said that to me. When my daughter, I homeschooled her all the way through high school, and she called me and she's like, Mom, my first thesis paper, I got a 96. And I'm like, I mean, you knew you were a good writer. I've been telling you that. And she's like, yeah, I know, but it just really meant something to hear it from, you know, an actual college professor.
How many of our husbands do that too? Like, I tell you this, but yet as soon as someone else says it, it's great.
Right.
You're
right.
Like, well.
So never a prophet in your own hometown.
Okay, so how there's a lot of volunteer stuff. There's also something coming up for Christmas, I know.
Yes.
So tell us about that. How can people get involved for the Christmas
so yeah the lifeblood of what we do at Preston Taylor Ministries is our volunteer base, our mentoring base, and our after school programs are always looking for volunteers to do homework, help with snack, just hang with kids, right? But if you don't have a place in your world where you can do something on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. then Christmas is a great time for our ministry. We have several things that we do. The week of December 14th is a Saturday through the 16th, 17th, 18th, and that whole week we have several events. One of them is called Nativity Store. It's on December 14th. And it is, we turn this entire building into a shopping center where folks sponsor a child and will buy a coat, a coat, a shirt, pair of pants, toy, pair of shoes. And we take all of that merchandise and build stores. And then our parents come and shop for their kids. So there's lots of different ways you can do. You can come to that event on that Saturday and be a personal shopper with a parent and help them make choices. Or a wrapper, because we wrap everything before they take it home. Or if you can't come that day but want to sponsor kids, right? Want to be that person who's buying the outfit, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are ways in which you can do that. And a lot of our families will do that. They'll shop together. They'll pick a girl for one of their girls and a boy for one of their boys, and their kids will help them shop for those outfits, and then they'll donate them to Preston Taylor Ministries. So we've got that going on. And then we have what we call wrapping parties. They're the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that week, 16th, 17th, and 18th, during after school hours, 3 to 6, somewhere in the 3 to 6 range, and where we set up stores for the kids to pick out presents for their siblings, moms, dads, aunts, and uncles.
Okay.
And so, again, we're always looking for little items like scarves, hats, gloves, coffee mugs, you know, all those little things that that we want to give.
So you're looking for donations. Specifically to for those gifts and also for volunteers to help wrap and help shop.
Yes, so you can have that shopping experience with a child where you're a personal shopper with the kid, or you can help them wrap their gifts for their parents, so you can be a wrapper. And so those are, it could be donated items or it could be donating your time.
And finding out about this, I know we're going to put stuff online that links and everything for people to be able to find, but can you tell us like how to?
So if you go to www.prestontaylorministries.org, there'll be on the donation page all those different events. All the different events, and we do it by site, because if it's, let's say it's the 16th that works for you, well then you'll know what sites need help. Or let's say, oh, you know what, I'd rather do a 3 to 5 than a 4 to 6, then you'll know which ones to do. Or I've got kids home from college and I want to do something that pours into the community, so I want to volunteer Saturday the 14th for an afternoon from 12 to 4. It's going to be broken up in all different ways, so that there are many different entry points and ways to volunteer.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that we've not talked about or covered that you would like to add, or?
I don't think so. I just, you know, if there's community service that your high schooler is looking to do, and getting ready for preparing for a college resume, there are ways that we can help with that. If you're a project person, right, and you'd rather paint a room or plant some flowers or reorganize a library, you know, if there's anything like that that you're interested in doing, project more than people, we've got that for you.
Okay, so would they just send you an email or?
Right on the website. There's a volunteer page right on the website, and it asks about, is there a specific gift that you have, right? Okay. If you've got a passion for scuba diving and you want to do a petting zoo with your scuba equipment, we have ways of bringing you in and having children interact with you in that way on Fun Fridays. So,
well, it sounds like there's just an opportunity for everyone with every set of giftings and skills to come in and help with you.
Exactly.
All the different things you guys have going on.
You need to do a podcast with kids, see? On Fun Friday.
Oh, how cute. Well, thank you so much for your time your heart and everything you're doing here at Preston Taylor Ministries. It's awesome.
So glad you're here.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Hope y'all enjoyed today's interview with Lisa Lentz at Preston Taylor Ministries out of Nashville, Tennessee. They have lots of opportunities for volunteering, so if you feel called, look on their website at Preston Taylor Ministries, and we will have the link on our show notes, and also you can find everything at pursuingtruenorth.com. And don't forget to join our newsletter.